Hey, y'all, it's Aaron from the Underground Railroad. You are tuning in to another great show on the 4EYED Radio Network. To listen to more of this show and other great shows, tune into www.4eyedradio.com.
That's right, kids. This is your good pal, Steve-O, from 4EYED Radio Network. I'm here to talk about a great person. Now, think about it. Who are you going to call when your logo looks like shit? You want a kick-ass logo. You want people to see your logo and go, you know what? That's an awesome logo. I wonder who did that logo. Well, I'll tell you who could do your logos for you. Check out Raven Designs. Special care of your work. Special inquiries? Check her out. She's got everything. RavenCruise.com is the place to go because you want a kick-ass logo. You want to stand above the rest. I guarantee it. You hear this song in the background? You know these guys have a kick-ass logo. It's a recognizable logo. And I guarantee it, if Raven was back in that time period, she probably would have made it for them. And they would have been like, hells yeah, people know who we are because we got Raven Designs behind us. Check out RavenCruise.com if you want a kick-ass logo for business cards. Maybe you want to put it on a car. These guys did. Maybe you want to put it on your building. You want something kick-ass. You want something that people can see and just go, this is awesome. Check out RavenCruise.com. And you know what? Do it. Do it right now. You got nothing else going on for you right now. Get a kick-ass logo. Check out her artwork, RavenCruise.com. All right. In case you didn't guess, yes, we'll be talking about the brand new, or Kyle will be talking about the brand new Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle movie. Of course, I am your host, Steve-O, with my co-host, Kyle. Say hello, Kyle.
Hello, Kyle.
Oh, now you're just being cute, aren't you now?
I had to. You set me up.
That's fine. I'm glad you took it. I will hopefully be seeing the movie tomorrow, which is Sunday, even though we are recording on August 16th of 2014. This is episode 21, so we can drink legally now.
Sweet.
If you haven't already started drinking, I suggest you do so. Of course, you can find us on www.longboxcast.com, part of the 4EYED Radio Network, also known as The Fern. You can listen to the show at 4EYEradio.com, Spreaker, iTunes, Stitcher, Zune Marketplace, Blackberry Podcast, Blueberry Podcast, Merrill Guide, Double Twist, YouTube, Swell Radio, SoundCloud, and Player FM. Also, don't forget that this episode of Longbox Cast is brought to you by Raven Designs. Illustrates and designs that fit your personality. For samples and inquiries, visit RavenCruise.com. And in case you are like, you know what, I'm not even going to take the time to look at her website, well, just take a look at the 4EYED Radio logo and also the Fro Show logo, and that's a little bit of her work. She's done two logos for us so far, and hopefully we'll be getting more. Also, we are a proud supporter of Comic Care, a foundation to give children who are in the hospitals things to read, which is comic books. We get a lot of people who show up at the children's hospitals and give not only dress up in costumes such as like Wonder Woman and Tony Stark and The Flash and everybody you can think of that's in a comic book. Of course, we'll see if anybody from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles now starts showing up at these hospitals. But of course, if you want to support Comic Care comics, go to comiccare.org. That should reroute you to their Facebook page, so go ahead and give them a like, follow them on Twitter, and all that great jazz and all that good stuff. Of course, we were away last week just because I didn't see the movie. Kyle did his homework. I don't do my homework, and frankly, you know what? I gave up, man. I just gave up on life sometimes, you know? That's what I do. But anyways, Kyle, how have you been?
I've been busy with, you know, day life and all that other fun stuff, planning wedding. You know, that kind of sucks, actually. Yeah, I, for recommendation, don't ever get married. The planning for it sucks. If you could, just skip the whole process, maybe throw a party later, but just skip a wedding.
Lucky for me, I don't see that happening anytime soon for my ass. But this is actually kind of funny. Not only you are getting married, but also Aaron Gallows on Starfleet Escape podcast is also doing his wedding stuff as well. So everything comes in three. So we're waiting for another person to either be engaged or getting married. So we'll see what happens. Anyways, before we dive into any of our comic book news, Kyle, give us a rundown of the new Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle movie. This movie came out on August 1st. August 8th. And really kind of weird to release this movie right after the success of Guardians of the Galaxy. But take it away, Kyle. I guess give us your opinion on it. Give us the good, give us the bad, and give us if there's anything we should look forward to in this movie. And then, of course, you can give us a rating of yours.
All right, sounds good. All right, I mean, I went in with actually very low expectations. I really wasn't expecting this to be, like, the best movie ever. I wasn't expecting this to be the worst movie ever. I was expecting it to be for what it was, a Nickelodeon movie. And to be honest, that's kind of what it was, just with a bigger budget, honestly. It was a Nickelodeon movie with a bigger budget.
Dang. So Megan Fox Turtles ain't got shit on the Rugrats movie.
No, that's still probably better. But now, Megan Fox, she was okay. They probably could have got someone better for April O'Neil, but it is what it is. It's just eye candy for everyone else.
That's what I kind of figured with her. I mean, don't get me wrong. I don't see she's like a great actress. I don't think she's a bad actress. I just think she should just stick to what she was originally doing, and that's modeling.
Agreed. Now, the movie itself was still fun. There's a lot of laughable moments. There's a lot of action. So you will actually enjoy yourself. But, I mean, there are some parts I just couldn't stand. I mean, without giving anything away, I mean, this is completely spoiler-free-ish, if you will.
Well,
the foot soldiers.
Just give it to me the best you can. I mean, if you do spoil some stuff, it's not going to matter, because I'm pretty sure everybody on the internet has already spoiled a bunch of stuff.
All right, fine. All the turtles die at the end of the movie.
Damn, that's dark. How are they doing a sequel?
They're bringing in Venus.
Oh, wow.
No, all right. But in all seriousness, the foot soldiers, I hated them. They weren't ninjas. They were soldiers carrying automatic weapons.
Okay. All right.
They weren't. They were just like a military group. Not trained martial artists, just. Yeah, I didn't like that. But they did pay homage to a lot of the cartoons, the comics, a lot of things. And I actually did appreciate that. Kevin Eastman even makes a cameo.
Oh.
Yes, so if you know what he looks like, you'll probably be able to spot him out.
Very cool.
Mm-hmm. I mean, don't expect to know how the turtles were created, because, you know, you got to change the story up sometimes. You don't want to go in expecting everything. So they do tweak a little bit here and there, but they still do the whole mutagen thing just in a different way. I won't spoil that for you, so I'll let you figure that one out. You were right about the whole paint nail polish on the turtles' back as to why their colors were. So
just out of curiosity, then why did Donatello pick purple if he could choose any kind of paint he wanted?
Well, no, they didn't pick it was the scientists. They were distinguishing between each of them. They each gave them a color, and then, you know, when Master Splinter trained them, he gave them just that color, because I guess that was the only colors he could find in the garbage or something. I don't know.
Now, This is crazy. The one question I have to ask, it was funny because I actually saw the behind the scenes of making of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle. Now, pretty much everybody who did their motion capture for the Turtles voiced the Turtles, except for the guy who did Leonardo was voiced by
yes.
Johnny Knoxville. And also mm-hmm. the guy who did everything for Splinter, he was then voiced by Tony Shalhoub.
Yeah.
Any reason why you felt they did that, or did Johnny Knoxville bring a good Leonardo to the mix, or was
honestly,
it just Johnny Knoxville?
I couldn't even tell. It honestly, when I saw Leonardo, I did not think of Jackass.
Well, that's good.
I just saw Leonardo. He was the leader. Raph was the badass. Johnny was a smart guy, and Mikey was Mikey.
So at least they kept that the same.
Yeah. I'm a huge Donatello fan, so I gotta say, they did a pretty good job with him. I wasn't all too big of a fan of the whole tech on his head and whatnot, but it kind of grew on me throughout the movie, and Donatello actually had a few surprising moments where I was like, hell yes.
Well, that's good. Yeah, that was the only thing I was kind of concerned about. I kind of, like, don't get us wrong. We get it with Donatello. We know he's the nerd. Mm-hmm. We know he's the geek. We know it's like, did you really need to, like, give him, like, all this technical stuff? But then again, even with everybody else, it's like, we get it. Leonardo's a samurai. We get it. Michelangelo's a party dude. We get it. Raphael's supposed mm-hmm. to be the badass. It's like, most of us already know the Turtles. And I get it with this movie, as a lot of people have said, like, this isn't for us. This is for the new generation of kids who just got into Ninja
right.
Turtles, and I understand that, but for everybody else, I'm like, did we really need to emphasize on them?
Honestly, not really. I mean, they still give a pretty good idea of, like, you know, their whole backstory and whatnot, and why they're like that. They really didn't need the whole tech stuff on them, but it somehow just worked for Donatello in that way, so
that's
I'll give
good.
It to them there. I will save you a couple minutes. There is nothing after the credits.
Okay, so don't even bother staying.
Exactly.
So, Turtles, you missed a great opportunity.
Yeah. I was hoping for what you were hoping for.
Man, I'm telling you. I mean, right now, they have only talked about maybe adding another character so far to the sequel. Yes, we are getting a sequel. So, apparently, it did very well box office-wise.
Yes.
But it looks like Casey Jones might be added to the next one.
Well, I heard that they wanted to put Rocksteady and Bebop in this movie, but they just didn't have the time or the space to explain all of that. So there's a possibility they may or may not put them into the second movie.
Okay, so breaking down everything now. Now I get this movie is actually geared towards more like the kid generation of the, you know, the
right.
new kids jumping on, even though it's a PG-13 movie. Rumor mm-hmm. had it the Turtles don't show up until almost, what, 20, 40 minutes into the movie?
About 20 minutes, yeah.
So, granted, when the first movie came out, 1991 or 92 movie came out, I mean, there's a little bit of the build-up. There's a bunch of stuff talking about the Foot Clan doing this and this weird activity and April O'Neil reporting, and then all of a sudden you get, like, the Turtles beating them up in the, you know, in the alley and the lights are out and all that kind of stuff. And then it literally does that cool sequence where it's all like you see the shadows of the Turtles and then it goes
mm-hmm.
into like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and it even pauses for that little bit where you're like, and then they jump out and you get to see them. Now, I want to say that probably takes maybe less than 10 minutes of the Turtles actually showing up in that movie.
All right. Now take what everything you just said, because that basically all that happens in the first 20 minutes, but it's just from 10 minutes to 20 minutes because, you know, they got to give Megan Fox more screen time.
Yeah, for whatever reason.
Yeah, literally just what you describe happens in the first 20 minutes.
Now we, of course, finally got two characters from the cartoon show that have never been in the motion picture. April O'Neil's cameraman, Vern, and then her boss is now played by a female, but it's the same character. But it's Whoopi Goldberg. How do these two
yep.
characters actually add to the mix? Did they do justice to their characters? Did they put a new twist on these characters? Or were these basically throwaway characters?
Vern actually was a pretty big help in the movie. So he was also a little bit of like a comic relief thing for the human side besides Mikey.
Mm.
And, I mean, Whoopi Goldberg's character, I really got nothing for that one. I mean, she was there.
Okay.
They just needed a boss to tell April O'Neil, no, you can't do that story, or, you know, all that stuff.
Okay, okay. So, so all this happens. Now, when the Turtles finally show up and their action, they're fighting and everything like that, is it probably the best we've seen the Turtles fight since when we finally saw Turtles fight for the big first time on the big screen? Did they do actual really cool things, or did they kind of keep it simple?
Technically the first fight was a shadow fight. You don't really see anything. You just see shadows of everything, and you don't see them. And the second fight, same thing. But when you get to the real fight, they can fight. It was actually really good.
That's cool.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you gotta go through like two fight sequences where it's like all in shadows. You don't get to see much of the turtles, but the next fight, I mean, it's action packed, and you're just like, holy shit, this is awesome.
Okay, that's good. That's good. Now, they fight Shredder, but it turns out the one guy who plays, I guess, the guy who knows April O'Neil's father. He's technically not the Shredder, which when the rumors first came out, they all said he was the Shredder. So he's basically just kind of under the Shredder, his pupil.
He's the Shredder's student.
Okay.
Yeah, pupil. Yeah. And I want to say this about the Shredder. He was brought to you by Swiss Army Knife.
Yeah, I just don't know why they... To me, I think it would have been cooler if they were like, hey, we have upgraded your armor, they do some fighting with
him.
That's
exactly what they did.
And then all
of
a sudden...
what they did.
Well, I understand that, but they upgrade his armor, yeah. But then he realizes, like, he loses to the Turtles. He's like, why do I have all this stuff? And he just kind of strips it down to its basic bones of the actual, what the Shredder armor is, and he can just kind of beat the Turtles with just that.
Because then the movie just wouldn't be as much fun.
Oh, really? Okay.
I don't know. I'm just guessing for some people. I mean, the Shredder, I feel like it was too much. I mean, there's a few things where it was like, oh, damn, that's kind of cool. But you'll see what I mean.
Okay, okay. I'm trying to think what else is there to ask. So give us a brief, we'll just say spoilers for everybody else. But give us a brief rundown of how the movie kind of goes when the Turtles are meet. Does the mutant gin fit in pretty good, or is it they don't write it well?
They fit it in pretty well. I mean, if basically their origin is the guy who works under Splinter and April O'Neil's dad were scientists, and they were trying to work on a cure for this gas or whatever. So they were testing it on turtles and one rat. So they were testing it on them. April O'Neil, who visited the lab a lot, also video recorded the turtles. So when she first found out their name, she's like, oh my gosh, I know you guys. I saved your life because there was a fire because April O'Neil's dad found out what Splinter's apprentice was up to. It was like, yeah, I'm not going to let you do this, so I'm going to kill everything. And I'm not going to save my daughter who's already in the building and whatnot, because there's a plot hole there. But, so April O'Neil saves the turtles and the rat, and she carries them to the sewer and lets them go down there. But basically the cure that they were injecting them with was mutagen, which later on developed them, made them what they are now. Which also plays into a main plot of the whole story of why Shredder and the Foot Clan are going after the Turtles.
Okay, they're going after them because they want the mutagen, or...
They want the mutagen because they're going to release a gas that's basically going to kill everyone in New York City, and the mutagen will cure them, and they're going to sell that at a high price.
Wow, okay, that seems really weird for the Shredder.
It was mostly for his apprentice, because his apprentice was then going to rule New York City and all this stuff. I don't know why they're thinking small, but, you know, good for them for at least trying.
Okay, so now with Splinter and the Shredder, now, is Splinter just a rat, basically? There's no human involved? He's not like Master, you know, he had a...
Yeah, there is no connection between Splinter or Shredder. there's nothing there. I mean, I'm hoping that maybe, you know, in the second movie they'll explain a little bit more, like, say, the rat was, what's his name, Matayoshi or something, I'm sorry, I'm butchering the names there, but basically that was his rat, and then, you know, Shredder killed him and then kidnapped the rat and brought it to the scientist dude and said, here, experiment on this rat. So maybe they'll do that in the next movie and give a connection between the two.
Okay.
But as of right now, there's no connection between Splinter and Shredder.
That's so weird, okay? Because to me, I would have think, like, you're redoing the... Especially, like, with Nickelodeon, you know, they mm-hmm. own the Turtles pretty much now, and they've got the new series that's going on, which they're actually doing a really good job with the new animated series of the
yes,
Turtles.
Yes, they are.
Because they've, like, grabbed everything, bits and pieces from different parts of the Turtle universe and put it together. So there's still mm-hmm. this cool thing where it's like, you know, Master Splinter was a man, became a rat, you know, him and his, you know, Shredder were, you know, rivals and everything like that, and then he basically framed him for murder, all this kind mm-hmm. of stuff. And even kind of like the new twist they're doing in the new one where it's like Karai, which they think is Shredder's daughter, turns out to actually be Splinter's daughter. So it's kind of a cool take. So I was kind of hoping they would play more into that, because I heard Karai is in the movie.
Yes.
But she doesn't, like, really do much but order a Foot Clan around.
Pretty much. And then, you know, she's, like, gone in the middle of the movie, and you're like, all right, what happened to Karai? And you just don't see her again. So she'll definitely be back.
Okay. So does at least does it end where it kind of could wrap up as a single movie, or does it really end where there is going to be a sequel? Does Shredder fall down the trash compactor? And
there is going to be a sequel. Basically, after Shredder's defeated, they do the whole thing where his arm, you just zoom in on the arm, and then his arm just makes a fist. Mm. You know, that cliche moment.
Wow, that's really kind of... Yeah, I was about to say, that's really cliche for a movie that's in 2014. Like, Do you think when they announced this movie, everything that kept going back and forth with the rewrites, everything like that, to me, do you think they probably should have pushed this movie back to maybe sometime next year, 2015, and they probably could have rewrote the whole script and maybe given us something that's actually good?
I don't know. I mean, you can polish a turd as much as you want, but in the end, it's still going to be a turd.
That's true. Now, we all know that now with Michael Bay producing it, not directing it, producing it, does it have those Michael Bay moments, or does it have somebody trying to be Michael Bay?
It's got a little bit of Michael Bay moments. You know, the, how do I put it? I guess in Transformers, you know how you got like some like the dirty robots?
Yes.
You got a little bit of sometimes with that with Michelangelo towards April O'Neil.
Oh, okay.
Spoiler alert, they're dating.
Oh, they date?
No.
Oh. I was like, that's
kind of creepy.
It was just a joke. Cowabunga, dude, here's my penis.
There's a porno I don't need to see.
You know what? We're probably going to be seeing this sometime soon. Overall, how many shells would you give this movie? And is this a movie that people should see in theaters, or is this a movie you can wait until it hits Netflix?
I'm going to give it 6.5 out of 10 shells. And I'd say at least go see it matinee.
Okay.
Yeah. Don't spend $8-$10 for a ticket and then another $10 for popcorn. Go see it as cheap as you can. Yeah. Definitely just see it matinee, or, you know, wait till HBO or Redbox or Netflix or bootleg.
Okay.
Not saying I support bootleg, but... Or bootleg.
I think with this film, I would support bootleg. Like Guardians of the Galaxy, I tell people to go see in theaters.
Same thing definitely. With
like X-Men and The Winter Soldier and all that kind of stuff. I mean, those were really good films this year. And I don't know, Turtles, I just felt like this is like the drop off. To me, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, if they were smart, should have probably come out in March.
Yeah, before everything else. Because you got, for those who got to go see Guardians of the Galaxy, I mean, you got to go see this one awesome action-packed movie, and then next week you're like, oh yeah, I can't wait to go see Turtles, and you're like, not nearly as good as Guardians.
Well, Turtles to me just seemed like a very weird, like, it was a great idea. We're all kind of psyched. We're like, okay, we're going to see a new Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle movie, basically mm-hmm. a brand new reboot. I mean, with all the different stuff that was going on with it, like, they're not turtles, they're aliens, they're not this, they're that, they're not, you know, all these different rewrites, all these, like, Casey Jones at one point was going to train the turtles and didn't realize who couldn't tell them apart, so he gave them bandanas or something like that. So Casey Jones basically was a racist. like, all these different things. And then when it finally got to the point where they, like, here's our release date, it's coming out August 8th, 2014, and then we still had not seen any footage. Like, we didn't even see anything of the turtles. We didn't see. All we saw was, like, Megan Fox stuff. You know, little bits and pieces were released, such as the turtle van and all these different things. And then when we finally got to see the first teaser trailer, everybody was already like, God, man, I don't like the looks of the turtles. Like, they're really roided out. Their noses look weird. And it was just kind of like, and then finally we started getting them. We finally started hearing them talk and stuff. We're like, okay. But then it was just like one of these movies where it's all like, yep, we're still. And then it was just weird to me because all of a sudden they were like, oh, Johnny Knoxville joins the cast of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle. I'm like, it's July. Your movie comes out in August. What? Like, it just seemed very weird to me.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think I've said all I can say for it, but I will say this last bit. At least they're not aliens.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
So we have looking forward to that. So 6.5 shells for Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I'll probably give you my review next week. Not telling you everything about it, but maybe we'll go in more depth because then we can talk about it. But I will give my shell review as well and go from there. But at least we'll talk about some show notes. We'll go into our comic book news right now. Is Batgirl New 52 the future? Now, we did talk about the new revamp of the Batgirl outfit. Apparently, I just found out that according to the original Batgirl, when it came out with the New 52, it was actually a very dark comic book, and now they're trying to lighten it up a little bit. So I guess Batgirl number 63 will be the second issue with the new creative team's run, which is actually co-created, I think, let's see, Carmen Stewart and Babs Tarr redesigned the new bat suit that everyone seems to really enjoy. But it looks like they're trying a brand new start with her. They're probably not going to do so much of with the path it was going. I'm trying to see when the comic will be released. I should have really gone over some stuff. Looks like this new Batgirl, so Batgirl number 35 is the one that'll be released of her. It looks like they're trying to target the age group of 16 to 25 year olds. I guess females trying to get a better thing. But yeah, it looks like this new version of Batgirl will be released October 8th. So look forward to these new versions of Batgirl coming out soon, and we'll see how well it does. I'm liking the new suit, and I've always liked Batgirl, so Aaron, what do you think? Do you think this is a good change for Batgirl, trying to lighten her up a bit, or does everyone want to still keep her as dark as Batman?
Well, first off, my name's Kyle.
Oh, shit, what did I say?
Aaron.
Damn it! I don't even, like, talk to Aaron that much either.
Anyways.
I'm just going to put Kyle in the notes, and AKA and Steve might call him Aaron sometimes.
We should have like a jar for every time you call me Aaron.
I can't afford a jar.
What was the question again? Sorry.
I was just asking, do you think it's a good idea what they're doing with Batgirl, or should they, they're trying to lighten her up a little bit, or should they keep her pretty much as dark as the Dark Knight?
I don't know. I mean, I guess we'll just have to see how they do it, but I mean, I never really read that much for Batgirl. In fact, I don't even think I own a single issue of Batgirl. So, like, not exactly the best opinion on it, but... I mean... I think they should probably make it a little bit darker if they want more of the a female adult reads for it.
Maybe, but it looks like... I guess they're trying to go through a demographic of 16 to 25-year-olds now. I don't know. But then again, it's weird because you have, like, you have Batgirl... You have Robin, which is Damian, Batman's son now. You have Nightwing. You have not only like Batman, but you have like Batman Detective, Batman Dark Knight, Batman Palooza.
Tim Drake's still Red Robin?
I think so, yeah. Then again, you also have the Red Robin. You also have, the Red Hood, which is Jason Todd. And then you have Batwoman. So you do have, like, a huge range of Batman comics.
So my next question is, do we need any more?
I'm saying no, we don't need any more. Don't get me wrong, like, I love Batman, but I'm like, there's so many offshoots of...
Yeah.
You know, of all these Batmans. Like, I don't even think Superman... I think, like, Superman maybe have, like... I could be wrong on this, but even with the new reboot of the New 52, there's probably maybe, like, Superman and then, like, Action Comics Superman and then maybe, like, another Superman and then you have possibly Supergirl comics and you probably have, like, Superboy comics. You even might have a Crypto comic, but I don't even think Superman has that long line of different, like, characters
so
to play.
Basically... Batman kind of sounds like DC's version of Wolverine, where he's everywhere.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. I'm just waiting for the
but
Alfred
anyways.
Comics.
I get those.
And all they are is like Batman is like, I'm leaving for the night. And he's like, okay, sir. And then it's just him like what he does around the house.
Yes.
It's like Alfred's wacky adventures.
Didn't Batman once have like a dog or something? Bat dog?
Yes, what was his name? Bat-Hound something.
Yeah, let's get him a book.
Oh, Ace. Ace the Bat-Hound.
Yes.
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 So anyways, that's pretty much all comic book news that I found, I guess. Anyways, I guess they are talking about Guardians of the Galaxy 2. this movie will be due out in 2017. I guess they're talking about possibly what's going to happen to Star-Lord's, their plans for basically Star-Lord, his father, and also what's going on with Thanos. So that should be kind of interesting. So like everyone says, like, you know, in Guardians of the Galaxy, Quill's mother calls him an angel. He hired the Ravengers to abduct Peter back in 1988. His genetic code is something of the Nova Corps. And he has never encountered, which has never been encountered before. So, so now, do you know anything about maybe who possibly, like you, I remember we talked about this before. You mentioned maybe his father being the Watcher.
Yes, and I'm still holding to that. I mean, science kind of point towards it, but it's a long shot there. I mean, you know, but... Maybe they will go by the comic standards and just rebrand them as something different, but I'm still hoping out for a Watcher. What about you?
I'm trying to think. I'm thinking like I'm trying to see. I would bust out laughing if they really just wanted to mess with the Marvel universe and everybody. They're like, Thanos is his father.
Howard the Duck.
Oh, jeez.
I mean, Angel, Wings, I mean, come on, it's right there.
Oh, that's true, yeah, you never know.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll do another flashback with his mom. He's like, your father knew Quack Fu. then again, everything, you know, is up in the air. I mean, again, we're not going to see this movie for about 3 more years anyway, so a lot can change.
Oh, yeah, I heard they want to put in more of the Guardians. Maybe we'll get Adam Warlock now that he's free from his cocoon in the Collector's Collection.
Oh, yeah, maybe. So it's and then also they I know they've been talking about getting Nova, where does he come from and all that kind of stuff. So
yeah, I really want them to do Nova.
I'm pretty sure they were planning on it because they were talking about him trying to get him into this one, maybe just like a brief like bit of him, but they decided maybe we should just save that for another movie. Now, of course, this has been popping up a lot. Now, I don't know if you saw, there's been a bunch of things leaked online, and then of course Batman Superman movie has moved its release date to March of 2000. Was it 17 or 16? Yeah, 2016.
Yeah, somewhere around there. Yeah, it's.
Oh, go ahead.
Sorry. Basically, it's 2 months before Captain America now, so.
So
no
either
more head to head.
Yeah, either they did not want to compete with them, or they want to be like, hey, we need a full month to try to get people on board with our, you know, Batman, Superman, because this is basically them trying to build their entire, you know, getting up to a Justice League movie.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what's been actually happening is a bunch of photos have been released. We've actually seen Ben Affleck actually in being Bruce Wayne, some photos. We've seen a picture of pretty much who might be playing Bruce Wayne's father, Thomas Wayne. It looks like the guy who basically he's been typecasted for the character who always dies. And no, not Sean Bean, but the actor who has played in Supernatural, Dean and Sam's father. He's also was the comedian in The Watchmen. So they had like a huge painting of him, and the guy looks exactly like that guy. So I'm thinking like, oh, we're going to do a flashback where you get murdered, yada, 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 and then so on and so forth. But apparently people did get the chance to sit down with Ben Affleck and ask him about like, why did you take the role of Batman and what can we expect from this? And it sounds to me that Ben Affleck said like, he's like, I wouldn't have taken the, he's like, I pretty much wouldn't have taken the part if I knew I couldn't do it. And not saying that he's saying I'm, you know, a great actor or anything like that, but he was like, I wanted to make sure the script was solid. He's like, because this is a character that, I'm jumping into and it's a big deal, you know, for people. Like, people want to take this seriously. They want me to, you know, represent. And then even, you know, when they offered him the role, they're like, now get ready for the internet to backlash on you. And Ben Affleck was pretty much prepared for that. Not too many people do know this, but Ben Affleck is actually a huge comic book fan. He's actually a huge Batman fan. So hopefully the script is very good, and hopefully he does justice by it.
I'm sure he will. I mean, I might get flack for this one too, but I actually kind of enjoy the Daredevil movie.
And I'll be looking for a new host on Longboxcast.
Nah, not the regular version, but the director's cut. That was actually a lot better.
Okay. Now, you're the second person I've heard told me this. Actually, my brother Kyle actually mentioned it before on episodes of Longboxcast, saying, if you're going to watch the Daredevil movie, watch the director's cut. I've never seen the director's cut, so apparently I might have to check that out now.
Yes.
Now, what do you think?
Kyles are smart.
Yeah, everybody with the name Kyle seems to be pretty much a genius. That's why people named Steve always call Kyles errands, apparently. But
yeah.
What do you like? What do you think? Like, do you think now the biggest problem everyone's asking really now is what's his voice going to be like when he's Batman?
I don't know. I kind of want him to do the whole Christian Bale, I'm Batman thing, but, I mean, then again, you want him to make it his own, so maybe he'll have, like, a voice box thing that'll deepen his voice or whatever, or, hey, you never know.
You know what would be actually really funny is they film everything, like, so he plays Bruce Wayne, he does all these things and stuff like that, then he plays Batman, and then when they refilm every, like, when they redo it, they actually go over his voice and they just get Kevin Conroy.
There you go.
So we'll see what happens, but yeah, it seems like he's going to be dedicated to the role, so he wants to do it justice. I guess that's why maybe they're calling it Dawn of Justice. But we'll see what happens. I mean, don't get me wrong, Christian Bale did a fantastic job with the Batman character. The only problem was it's like he picked the voice for the first movie. It was good. Then the second movie, it started derailing a bit. Like, you're like, what's going on? And then the third movie is just like, I think he just kept like, he's just like, I don't care anymore. I'm just going to try to make it as painfully as possible. But then in the third movie, it was even worse because then you have, where's the trigger? And, oh, hello there, Mr. Wayne. So you just had two people with ridiculous voices going back and forth.
Yeah.
But let's see what else we got going on. So, of course, we did touch upon the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles sequel. This story actually I found very fascinating. So Sony, they've been in talks where trying to expand their Spider-Man universe of just not doing Spider-Man films. So they talked about a Sinister Six film. We've talked about the Amazing Spider-Man film. And then Marvel has been talking about, just in general, that they want to do a female movie with a Marvel character, which is fine. I mean, they did Elektra, but it failed miserably. But Sony wants to go ahead and they threw their hat into the ring. They want to do a Spider-Woman movie. The only weird part is they want to cast Emma Stone's Gwen Stacy as Spider-Woman. Now, I have not seen the new Spider-Man film, but apparently she lost her head.
Oh, she didn't lose her head. Her neck just snapped. You just hear like a snap. There's no, like, it's not like a Final Destination death. It's just, yeah, nothing special.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think what they might go is, like, in the Ultimate Comics, they had cloned Gwen Stacy and Peter Parker, and Gwen Stacy's clone turned into Carnage or whatever, but, and then, like, a female clone of Peter Parker turned into Spider-Woman. So maybe they'll take, like, the clone of Gwen Stacy and turn her into Spider-Woman.
Huh, okay. How would you feel about a Spider-Woman movie? I think it'd be kind of weird already because we just rebooted the Spider-Man franchise. He's only two films in. And it's like, let's now do a female character. Now, don't get me wrong, I would love to see a female superhero movie. I know we're trying to get the Wonder Woman movie. But Marvel has a lot more than just in the Spider-Man, you know, universe.
Yeah.
I would like to see a lot of, to be honest with you, a movie that probably will never get made is a Miss Marvel movie.
Don't sell yourself short just yet. I have a feeling they might do it soon.
But only if they cast me.
Especially with the whole space theme.
Yeah. I'll just do motion capture. You know, they'll fix it with computers.
Sure. You can be Miss Marvel.
They're sitting there going like, why would we waste all this money for motion capture when we can just cast a female? I'll be like, Marvel, do you want to do this right or you want to do it wrong? We want to do it right, so I think we're going to go with a female.
I'll be right back. I need to go bleach my brain.
I'm just kidding.
I know you are, but the images are still there.
Oh, they're still there. Well, at least you got something in your spank bank later. Now, this is really cool. I've heard about it a while ago. Terry Crews, if you don't know who Terry Crews is, he's the guy who, he's on Brooklyn 999 now, or 909, 911, I forget what it is.
90210?
Maybe 90210. It's that new show with Andy Samberg and all that kind of stuff. It's actually a funny show.
Yeah.
But he also did the, I think he did some of the Old Spice commercials a while back. And also he did this really crazy thing where he had like all these things hooked up to his body because he's a built guy, and he like did this drum thing with all of his muscles, which was pretty fantastic. But Terry Crews, he said he would be honored to play Luke Cage. We talked about this a while ago when Netflix basically talked about them doing a whole bunch of Marvel series. You know, Daredevil is actually in pre-production right now. I think we're going to see that sometime next year. I know they have a Iron Fist they want to do. They also want to do, I forget, a woman one. I forget what it's called. And then they want to do...
Oh, it's Alias. Jewel.
Yes.
Luke Cage's wife.
And then they wanted to do a Luke Cage one. And Terry Crews, he mentioned beforehand, he's like, I would like to play this character. He's like, I really like the character. Obviously, he knows the character. And so then I think he'd be... And actually, to be honest with you, I think he'd be a good fit. Because not only can he be I'm in your face, I'm going to destroy you. But he also has a great sense of humor. And Luke Cage is pretty much back and forth on that kind of stuff. But he did talk about this a little bit. He compared Cage to Superman. Said he's exciting to see the series, no matter who plays the character. Last year, it took him out of the running for the role, explaining to comic book resources that he had never been approached by Marvel. Usually when an actors are talking about roles, it's for a part that was ready to happen, Cruz said. But we'll see what happens. I mean, they haven't really picked anybody for Luke Cage. They haven't even talked about the script, but I say give it to him.
Yeah, definitely. I think he'd be a perfect fit. Can we just get like a voice test of him saying "Sweet Christmas"?
Oh, we probably yeah. That yeah, that's get,
yeah. Do a voice test. If it works out, he's got my two thumbs up of approval.
And look, on the funny part is like this would probably be the first actor you guys could get that you wouldn't have to pay for him to work out.
Yeah, right.
You know, like everybody else usually it's all like, and I'm not saying none of these other actors are in shape, but they're not like into that built shape. Like, I mean, you look at Chris Evans in roles when he's not playing a superhero and he's, you know, he's still in shape, mm-hmm. but he's not like built like Captain America. And then as soon as he does those Captain America roles, he gets, you know, built for those roles. So, you could probably save some money without having to get Terry Crews in shape.
Yeah, definitely.
I just saw this. Apparently, Paul Rudd and Michael Douglas in first Ant-Man footage.
Ooh.
So I just pulled this up. I know they've shown the posters or the mask and everything. That is actually footage, or is this just them? Oh, okay, I think this is just them explaining the footage.
Oh, okay. Did you hear Inhumans is now going into pre-production? Or some close to that, they just finished up the script for it, so they're starting to move forward with that.
Oh, really? Okay, cool. So, yeah. when will we see this going down?
I have no idea. But I just read Inhuman script has been finalized and it's moving into the next stage. I forget what it's called because I don't work in the movie business, but it looks like we may be getting an Inhumans movie soon. And I believe they just got two writers for the Aquaman movie.
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah, I've heard about that. Yeah, with the Aquaman movie as well.
And I think there was something else. I just can't remember it right now. So.
That's okay. It's okay. It's not like.
That was a second ago. Yeah. I don't know.
But maybe, hopefully, one day we'll get to see the, what's it called, the Superman film starring Nicolas Cage.
No.
I know.
No. No. I'd rather watch the Steel movie.
Ooh, with Shaquille O'Neal.
Hmm.
But I think that's going to wrap it up for this week's Long Box Cast. We actually did a pretty good long show. We got to hear Kyle's I finally got it right. Kyle's opinion on Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. And I'll hopefully see that tomorrow. And then most likely you'll see some posts from me on Facebook going, what the fuck? But I probably won't really say that because I'm actually kind of going in with I've done this with a lot of movies now where I just don't go with any expectation. I mean, as much as I gave a little expectation, not much, like I would say a percentage with Transformers 4. And the only reason why is because that trailer was like, I'll give Michael Bay this. Michael Bay does not know how to make a good movie anymore, but he does know how to put together a trailer. If that's even him, it might not even be him. It might just be other people who do the editing. But anybody who ever edits for Michael Bay and does his trailers, you guys do very good work because literally I was not going to see that fucking movie. And then I saw the trailer. I'm like, oh, this makes me – I want to see the movie now. This actually looks good. And then you go see the movie and you go like, well, fuck me. That trailer screwed me over. So,
yeah, I still haven't seen Transformers 4. So
I will say this. Just wait.
Yeah.
You probably already knew that, but I'm just letting you know, just wait.
Yeah.
But Kyle, where can people find you on the interwebs?
Well, you can find me on Twitter where I'm most active every single day of the week at Deadpool_Ranger. And you can find me on my blog, which I have not touched in about 2 to 3 weeks. So yeah, that's at DeadpoolRangerTalks.com.
Very nice, very nice. Of course, you can find me at Stephen Mooney Jr. on the Twitters, at S. Mooney Jr. on Instagram. Don't forget to check out all the other great shows on 4i Radio Network. Don't forget to subscribe to us on iTunes and check out all the other great stuff. And until next time, kiddos, Kyle.
Long box cast. We have too many issues for a short box.
Yeah, baby! This has been another fine production of the 4i Radio Network. For more great shows, check out www.4iradio.com. And I'm still going to keep calling him Aaron, I guarantee it.